Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
How's everybody? I'm so glad you're here. So good to see everybody. Cannot believe this is the last night of ladies' class this quarter. That has gone by so quickly. So tonight we have Jordan Butler and Jennifer Barnes, who are going to speak to us, and we really appreciate both of y'all so much. And so I just want to say, too, that before I read their bios, that Cindy and I have had a fun time putting this together, and I want to thank Cindy, because I get up here and talk, but Cindy does so much behind the scenes organizing and getting all the technical stuff done for the class, like the PowerPoint and all of that. So y'all give her a big hug, because You see me talking, but you don't see what she does. She does a ton of stuff. So I just want to thank her for the organizing of this and the brain behind it. So that's been very helpful for all of us. Okay, so I'm going to read Jordan Butler's bio. Jordan is a Christian wife and mother, originally from the small town of Barry, Alabama. She's been married to Patrick for 13 years, and they have attended here at Madison for the entirety of their marriage. Jordan and Patrick have three beautiful, but sometimes wild and crazy, children together. Emily is 10 and a half and is in the fifth grade. Benjamin is 8 years old in the second grade, and Joshua is 5 years old in pre-K 4. Jordan has a master's degree in early childhood education and has previously taught in both public and private school settings, including 4 years as a pre-K 2 teacher here at MKC. She now uses her background in education as a homeschool mom and will be the kindergarten and first grade teacher here at the Madison Christian School Church Co-op, which we're pumped about. Thank you so much. Starting in the fall, she likes to say now that she is living her best homeschool life. Patrick and Jordan are the Bible Bowl coordinators for Madison. Also, thank you for all the Tennessee Valley Bible Bowl. Additionally, Jordan serves as a Kids Corner team leader, Maywood camp counselor, also thank you, VBS teacher, and sometimes as a cradle roll teacher as well. She loves to read in her spare time when she's not chasing kids or when she's supposed to be sleeping. She can also be found wooing out loud at dance competitions or screaming, "Guard your face!" at Taekwondo tournaments. She's happy to be here tonight, and we're so thankful for you. Okay, and then there's Jennifer Barnes. She says, "I've been married to Kevin for 32 plus years. We are high school sweethearts, really childhood sweethearts, beginning in the 6th and 8th grade." That's impressive. "We've been members at Madison since 1999. We have four amazing kids, Olivia, Maddie, Ronan, and Will, plus a bonus son in love, Evan, and two awesome dogs, Sambo and Daisy Sue." Those are cute. "Affectionately known as Crazy Daisy. She teaches the Mommy and Me," or she says, "I teach Mommy and Me, help in the FBI class, the Caring Sisters and Solos, and a greeter for ministries, in the greeter ministry, and co-coordinator for the ladies' shower ministry with Kara Hargett. I love watching my kids' activities, which these days that's just Will, family meals, which most of the time is at a restaurant, and dogs, mine and really anyone's. Fun facts, we've lived overseas twice, Dublin, Ireland, for 2 years, and Richmond, London, England, for a year. We had Ronan in Ireland and came home early from London to have Will in the good old USA. We were the joke at AdTran for a while that we could not be sent anywhere else because we would come home with another baby." That is so awesome. Thank you both so much. All right, I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll hear from Jordan. Dear Lord, thank you so much for how you've blessed this quarter and how you've blessed all the women who have chosen to accept the invitation to speak and who have had the courage to do that. We thank you so much for how you've equipped them to do that and how you've worked in their lives and how you've given them peace about what to say and what to present. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you have given that opportunity to us to hear all of those stories, and that we have the means to record them and use them for other people to hear. And so we're just so thankful for that. I pray that you be with Jordan and Jennifer as they present to us, and that they will, you will speak through them, and that their words will be your words, and that we will see evidence of how you've woven together their stories so carefully. We love you so much, and we praise you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. So I'm Jordan Butler, and like several others have said in previous weeks, I'm usually up in front of little kids, so I'm a little nervous. My scripture that I will try to eventually get to is Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3, and the verse mainly is, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." This is us, but about 5 years ago, I think, this is probably the last time that we actually had a family photograph. I think a friend of Lori Ann's took those pictures for us. So this is Patrick and Emily, and Benjamin is in the middle, and that's baby Joshua over on the side. Our little family started like this. That's 16-year-old Patrick on his birthday, and I was 16, and then high school graduation. We were also high school sweethearts, but a little bit older. We started dating in 10th grade, so a little bit older than Jennifer. And then engaged and married, and then baby Emily. She was born in June of 2015. And when I was getting ready to talk to you guys, I've been thinking ever since they asked, I was like, okay, what am I going to talk about? The problem is really not speaking, but more of, I have so many things. So should I talk about this or should I talk about this? I had a lot going on in my childhood. And as I was dating Patrick and met my mother-in-law, the joke was, it's a really long story. Every conversation was, well, this is a really long story. And so I've talked about my childhood before in ladies' class, so I kind of skipped over that a little bit tonight. I'm going to get back to it. But I could have talked about postpartum anxiety. After I had Emily, that was a really, really, really big problem that has been mentioned already earlier this quarter, that we've had someone talk about that. And if anybody wants to talk about that with me personally, I'd love to talk to you about that. But so I could talk about that for a while. Getting back to the pictures, this is baby Benjamin. He was born in, I've got three kids, you gotta think about the dates. He was born in 2018. And then, surprise, baby Joshua that we didn't know about, he was a COVID baby, and he was born in January of 2021. And then this is our crazy family now. So Emily, like we said, is 10, almost 11. Joshua just turned 5, and Benjamin just turned 8. And we are in our first year of homeschooling, and I could talk about that for a long time. I'd love to talk about that if anybody wants to talk to me. It's really the best, and we really are living our best life this year and getting to spend a lot of time together as a family, and have been able to also like minister to other families here that have questions, and it's been a really good experience. But what I finally decided to talk that I was going to talk about tonight, and really I think I knew all along, it was always in the back of my mind, was I wanted to talk to you about my grandparents. This is Gran and Papa. I got my tissues. I'm already like, whew, already feeling the tears, so I'll probably cry a good bit and keep track of time, because I could spend like 10 minutes just crying. But this is baby me and little me and my Gran and Papa. I had a crazy kind of childhood time, but Gran and Papa were I didn't mean to say this because my topic is Lead Me to the Rock, but they were kind of like my rock for a little while. I just thought of that. The reason is because my mom had me when she got pregnant with me when she was 19, And so I was very, very loved and very spoiled by my grandparents. And this is my mom when she, I believe this is when she graduated nursing school. She was in nursing school when she had me. So we lived with my grandparents for a long time. And then there were lots of other dads and father, you know, father figures in my life, but that kind of, you know, I'm not going to go into tonight, but because of the I guess, transient nature of things, Gran and Papa were always there. So we had the best relationship. Sorry. This isn't even the part where I usually cry, so. And that's little me. I was cute. And like I said, very, very, very spoiled. Gran and Papa took me everywhere, all over the place. We went to the beach. They love to travel out west. And so these are just random pictures I could find of traveling with them. This, if we have younger people in here, younger than me, this Papa is holding is a video recorder. You hold it up and you can take video with it. He would record everything. And this is important. I don't know if this thing has a pointer, but this little suitcase on the left, it was my suitcase. And it's, I think you call it Karopi. It's one of the Hello Kitty characters. But the point is, every time we would go on these trips, which was all the time, my mom would always send me with some money to get souvenirs. And we would go, you know, to all the souvenir stores, and I'd say, Papa, I really want this, but I left my money in my suitcase, like in the hotel room. And he would joke all the time that, man, if he ever found that suitcase, that he was gonna have, like, he was gonna be really rich. And for the longest time, we didn't know where it was. Like I said, we moved a lot. My mom and I, my brothers and family, we moved a lot. Grandpapa didn't, but I never really knew what happened to that suitcase. It went somewhere, didn't know. Well, when Emily, that was the Christmas Emily was born, my mom found it, and that was the sweetest thing. And it's, you know, I'm sitting here crying over a suitcase. But that was special. That was very special. And I still have it now, and it has, you know, fun little mementos and things in it. That's it taken in Grandpapa's house. But anyway, so Papa always joked that he was going to be a wealthy man if he found that suitcase with all of that money after he had to pay for all of my souvenirs. And this is them more when I graduated the first time at UAB, and a picture of Papa on just some other trip. We were together all the time. As they got older, Gran started to have lots and lots and lots of health problems, and everything you could name it. I mean, she had West Nile virus. She fell and broke arms and legs and a hip and all the things at different times. She had started having lots of little strokes, little TIAs. She had some kind of something. I think it was something like an aneurysm of some kind. I'm not exactly sure, and I didn't think to ask my mom what it was, but something where it was in a position where they were not going to be able to operate, but it was kind of like a ticking time bomb, I think is what the doctors referred to it as, and like that it would be something that would probably, you know, cause a lot of problems or be fatal someday. And so I worried about her all the time. I mentioned that I had postpartum anxiety after Emily, and especially those first few years when Emily was little and Gran was having so many problems. I was in counseling, and that was wonderful, by the way. I could talk to you about that. Highly recommend it. But a lot of what we talked about, especially after we worked through the postpartum anxiety and we worked through kind of the childhood trauma stuff that I had going on, and we had to work through or try to talk about my worries and fears and anxieties related to Gran and her health problems. Because every time the phone would ring, I would think, oh man, this is it. So I worked on that for several years, at least, you know, a couple of years. Part of my therapy and counseling was you know, working through my anxieties, and especially related to this, and, you know, how it was, you know, it was going to be okay, and, you know, those kinds of things. This is a picture of me with my mom and Emily. I think she had just turned one, something like that. We were singing happy birthday to her. This is in a hospital, and that's Papa, and Gran was in the hospital again. She had, you know, like I said, lots of health problems, was in the hospital all the time. I remember staying with her several times when she was at in Birmingham and I was there. So we were visiting her, and this was another one of the times where it was like, oh, we don't know if she's gonna recover. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going on. And so it was a really, really hard time. Well, here we are a year and a half later, because Emily was 2 and a half. Gran's still, she's still there. She always managed to surprise us. The doctors would say, oh, she's not going to make it very long. And then she was fine. She was a strong-willed lady. And that's my mom and Gran and Emily. And I was pregnant with Benjamin, as you can see. And this was New Year's Eve. Emily had just turned 2 and a half a few days before, and Patrick and I had left her with my mom at Gran and Papa's house so that we could have like a few days to ourselves before Benjamin was born. And Papa, he had had a hip replacement. And so he's not in these pictures that day because he was like at a rehab facility. And so this was a Sunday, and we came to pick Emily up after service, and we got back home. And then that night, I got another phone call. I told you, I used to always worry every time the phone would ring, oh no, it's Gran. Well, I got a phone call from my mom. She was hysterical. It was FaceTime. I was like, it was New Year's Eve. Emily was already in bed, but I was pregnant, very pregnant. So I was asleep, like half asleep on the couch before, you know, before it was midnight. And my mom FaceTimed. She said, I don't even remember what she said, but she was completely hysterical. My grandfather, Papa, had passed away. He had been at rehab for the hip. He had been doing great. The surgery, hip surgery was... It had been several days. I don't really remember exactly because nobody was worried about Papa. Everybody was worried about Gran. She's the one who had had all the health problems for years and years and years. She's the one that I was in therapy about. This is Papa on my wedding day. Obviously, he walked me down the aisle because my dad's not in the picture. So I got that phone call that my sweet, sweet Papa, that we had not even begun to worry about, that he had, I guess it was some kind of a blood clot, something after surgery. But this was, like I said, several days later. And you didn't expect it. And I meant to, at the beginning of this, give like a little trigger warning kind of thing. Obviously, I'm talking about grief. I'm crying. This is Papa, that young Papa. That's Papa, I think, on the day I was born. I'm pretty sure that was in the hospital when I was born because I was very spoiled. And Papa loved to, he worked at Georgia Pacific in a sawmill for like 42 years, but he also worked on lawnmowers like every day of his life. He was the community lawnmower man. Everybody came to him. People came from all over everywhere for him to fix their lawnmowers. They would bring him old lawnmowers and parts that they said wouldn't work, and then he would fix them and sell them, and he would get them going. These right here are some of the last pictures that I have. This Emily at Thanksgiving. And I just, the next picture I think is the one I was talking about. This was at his funeral. They had "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." There's their, Gran and Papa were married for like 58 years. And you have, you know, you see both of their little names on there. And you just, it just wasn't fair. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't part of the plan. it wasn't supposed to be Papa. And I don't mean that to sound, I always feel like I sound, it sounds terrible to say that, but, and I love my grand more than anything, but I was ready for that. We had been planning that. She also suffered from Alzheimer's and dementia, and we were prepared. We were not prepared. We were not prepared for Mama's passing. And I was very, very pregnant with Benjamin. And so I would just sit, and these are the verses that I would read, and I would cry. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Psalm 61:1-3. That's the ESV. I also put the New King James because the ESV says when my heart is faint, which I like, but then I also like this. New King James says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. I was very overwhelmed. I was not in a good place. I was not prepared. I didn't know why. I didn't understand. But all I knew was that I knew that I had a God who loved me. And I knew that he was that rock and that no one else and nothing else was going to get me through that time. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Papa also was a song leader at his, the main song leader at his their little church where I grew up. And one of his favorite songs was Till the Storm Passes By. And so there's baby Benjamin. This is just a few months after Papa passed, and I would sit in my little chair, and Benjamin didn't sleep very well like most babies, and I would just sit in that chair, and I would hold him, and I would cry and cry and cry and think about Papa and just cry and sing this song in the dark. This was one of the, if this was not Papa's favorite song, but it was one of the favorites and one of the ones he would lead a lot. And his voice, I can't explain, he did something funny kind of with the song when he led it, so I could really hear him singing this one in my head. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And buddy, was I in a storm, and I would just sing over and over. Skip down, third verse, when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. This is another verse that I would read. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. And then this one. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. This gave me a lot of comfort when I thought about my papa. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. This is my grand and papa. I like this picture because they're walking away, and I guess I just like to think of them as being together again. She did pass away in 2020. And I still love them both. I miss them both deeply. But I can think about Gran and I can be happy because I know that she was hurting a lot and she was not herself. I felt like we lost her like a long time before she passed, and it was a peaceful feeling. With Papa, I still can't think about it or talk about it because it was it wasn't in the plan, and I'm a control freak. I was not prepared, but I love them. I know where they are, where they'll be. I know, back to these, we shall always be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. I know that if I do the things that I'm supposed to do, which I need to, you know, I've got to stay on it. I got to stay on that path. I got to do what I'm supposed to do because I know they did. I know they did. That I'll get to see them again one day. And I know there's so many of you in here who've lost loved ones, and I know that we know that we have that hope that we get to be with them again one day. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you again to Cindy and Laurianne for organizing this class, and for every lady in here who has spoke in the class. You have been so encouraging and such an inspiration. So this is my family, and yes, our dogs are family, so they get equal. But this is Olivia and Evan on the left, and they get attend church here. And then Ronan, who is at Alabama, he's really involved in Tide for Christ there, me and Kevin. And then Maddie and Will, and Maddie and Will are both here. Also, Maddie's in the CYP group, and here most of the time when she's not in Tuscumbia seeing somebody else. And I'll just start by sharing a little bit about my background. I grew up in a small town, Cherokee, Alabama. Same hometown as my husband, Kevin. As Laurianne mentioned, we were high school sweethearts, which was similar to Jordan. We grew up in the same church, and our families are still close today. This is a picture of my extended family, like at Thanksgiving, but honestly, it could have been at any celebration or fish fry at my parents' house. It's my parents, all of my siblings, their families, their in-laws, my in-laws. My parents have always been very good about extending, like everybody is invited. If you don't have a place to go, come on, you're welcome. But just looking at that picture and thinking about the past, one thing that stands out to me is how our parents modeled showing up, being present, and prioritizing family. And that example has shaped how I try to live today. So tonight, I'm going to talk about being all in and living for God in everything we do. And the verse that I chose tonight, as you can see, is one of my favorite Bible verses, which is Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for people. Heartily means to do something with sincere enthusiasm, vigor, or complete sincere feeling. My translation to that is 100 or 110% effort. This verse is simple, but it's also very powerful. It answers a big question. Who are we really doing life for? It's not for recognition. It's not for approval. And it's not for comparison, but for God. There was a season of life where I really struggled with this. We had multiple kids and activities, especially competitive dance. It required a lot of time, a lot of money, travel, a lot of energy. And we made the decision to do it as a family together. The whole family traveled. Little boys were sitting in dance competitions, pew-pew-pewing. But if I'm honest, my attitude was not right. I was there physically, but I was not always mentally and emotionally all in. And looking back, my regret is not the activity itself, but how I showed up. It took years, and honestly, that chapter ending for me to realize that if you're going to commit to something, be all in. So what does being all in look like? And I'm going to suggest three things. One is to have a good attitude. And this sounds simple, but it's often the hardest part, isn't it? We can be doing all the right things, but with the wrong spirit. And this can happen to us. I'm referring with my parenting, but it can happen at work. It can happen in our marriages. It can happen at church and with friends. God cares about how we do things and not just what we do. The second thing is choose positivity, even when it's hard. It's easy to complain about time, about money, about other people. But negativity spreads fast, and it affects everyone around us. And instead of being negative, speak life. Encourage others. Handle criticism privately. And this could apply to us as parents, could apply to us as coworkers, as friends, lots of ways. The last way, as far as being all in and what it could look like, is being someone's biggest supporter and encourager. One of the best pieces of advice I ever received as a parent was from our preacher in Ireland, Tony Coffey. He and his wife were precious to us. We're away from family, and they would have us over for dinner all the time, and we would talk. And one night after dinner, we were talking, and Tony looked at me and said, "The world will criticize your kids enough. You be their biggest supporter." He had watched me correct the girls, I'm sure, probably that night, no less. But I'm sure, you know, at church services and different things, other events we had been at with them. And he knew I needed to hear that. The fact that I remember that advice so vividly tells me that I knew I needed to hear that. But sadly, it took me a long time to embrace that advice. And just like a little side note with that, I would tell you as parents, especially with young ones, remember this with your kids. Because I know they get tired of hearing the same things from us, and we think we've told them X, Y, Z, so we may say it a time or two, and then you're like, "I've told them that, they know." No, they don't. Say it. Just say it until you're blue in the face, because until they're ready to hear it, until their heart is ready to receive it, they do not hear you, and they're not going to embrace it. So keep saying it. Being someone's biggest supporter applies beyond parenting. I know that's the stage that I'm in, and that's kind of what I'm focused on tonight, but your spouse needs encouragement, your coworkers need encouragement, and your friends need encouragement. And I think Maya Angelou is given the credit for the quote, but about how people don't remember what you say or what you do, but they remember how you made them feel. And I think that's true. And while I'm in a parenting season, and a lot of my thoughts tonight have related to that, the message isn't just about raising kids, but if you're a student in here tonight, be all in with your effort, with your studying, with your preparation, not just when someone is watching, but when no one is. If you're working, do your job with excellence, even when it feels unnoticed, because God sees it. If you're retired, your influence is still powerful. You can mentor, encourage, and invest in others. You can still be all in with purpose. And we have great examples of this at Madison with all of the different ministries that we do. Just personally, I know ladies, friends showing up to our kids' ball games and events, dropping food and cinnamon rolls off. That happened recently. They were amazing. But if you're in a difficult season, being all in might look like faithfulness, trusting God even when it's hard, and showing up. And I think about the showing up because there are so many ladies in here who have done this recently, and I just want you to know that you are one of our biggest encouragers just with the act of showing up and being here. And there are some simple habits that we can do, and I'll suggest three. I'm kind of stuck on the three thing tonight. So the first one is to help someone every day. One of the things that I try to do with Will is in the morning I will tell him, find someone to help today. And then that night I'll ask him, who did you help today? Of course, that requires me to remember to do that, right? it's easier as he's getting out of the car to remember him, but to remember to ask that question at night is the hard one. The second habit would be to encourage one person intentionally. Helping and encouraging can be holding a door, giving a compliment, taking a shopping cart into the parking lot, which my kids hate that I do that. And a lot of times, like if Will is having a hard time coming up, which by the way, when he can think of something on his own, that is so fun, y'all. When they can have that just excitement about knowing that they did something to help somebody, it is so fun. But when he's struggling, like to remember who he helped or what he did, I'm like, well, did you smile at somebody today? Because I mean, that's something that we do to help somebody. Think about that. Think about if you're down, if you're having a bad day and somebody smiles real big at you, hey, you're helping. The other thing is showing up consistently. And this is something that Kevin and I have often talked about regarding our parents. Neither of us ever remember a time when our parents did not show up for one of our events, whether it was cheerleading, softball, majorette, football, baseball, basketball, you name it. And both of our dads were blue collar. I mean, they worked shift work, overtime, not my dad, Kevin's. And both of our moms worked. And that takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of prioritizing your family to be able to give that kind of support. So now I'm going to give you some advice of when you're struggling to be all in and to be positive and encouraging. Because we all have moments when we're not that. So these are some practical ones from me, and you're going to notice that we're definitely a sports family by some of these that I'm going to give. But the first one is to pause before reacting. This could just be taking 3 deep breaths, closing your eyes and thinking about the beach, or I'm going to suggest grabbing a blow pop. I almost brought y'all all blow pops tonight. I started taking blow pops to baseball games because I like to give Will advice from the stands. Some of you may be able to relate to that. And it just got to where I noticed that was not doing him any good. And I just decided that if you have a blow pop in your mouth, you're gonna keep your mouth shut. So I take a bag with me, and believe me, there are times that I'm like, okay, and here's one for you, and you, and you. I mean, I could literally do that. I'm not kidding, because I mean, you know, I'm focused on my own kid. That was my problem, but a lot of it was not. You know, you've got people fussing at other people's kids, the umps, the coaches, you name it. Y'all have been there. Another way is to just step away. Just remove yourself from the situation. Change your environment. And this can be simply getting up and moving where you sit if you're at a baseball game and you're around negativity. And I have done that more than once because I don't like to hear people talking about my kid. I can take some of that for a little while, and after a while, like, Mean Jennifer is going to come out. So it's just better for me to move and sit by myself, and I can do that. I'm happy. Another one is to take a walk and regroup. To the mailbox and back might be enough. I remember talking with a counselor friend, y'all might know, Becky Kelly, about one of my kids and expressing that I did not understand why they would not take my advice and just walk down to the stop sign and come back and calm down. And she very softly said to me, well, have you taken a walk to the stop sign and back? I was like, no. So, you know, it's all about perspective, right? But sometimes, you know, it's not the situation, it's how we look at it. Anyway, but have a mindset of, am I doing this for God or for people? And give your best, even in the small things. Wrapping up, if there's one thing to remember in all of this, is whatever you do, be all in your attitude, in your effort, in your relationships, and in your faith. Because when we live that way, we are not just doing life well, but we're doing it for God's glory. So do everything as if it matters, because it does. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do heartily as for the Lord and not for people. Thank y'all. How's that for timing? I mean...
Thank y'all. Thank you so much. And that was a perfect thing to end on for this very pregnant woman that really needs to be all in with several things and is very tired. So that was really good advice. And I've told Jennifer before that now, I said, she told me she had Will when she was about my age. And I was like, man, you are my hero. So like, you give me a lot to look forward to. And she's raised some awesome kiddos. So we really appreciate what y'all have done and how you shared tonight. And thank you all for your support for the class. And have a great night.